had an encounter with, and some of us might be in bondage to it today, but I believe that we're going to begin to experience freedom. So James 1, verse 19, here's what it says. It says, "My dear brothers and sisters, understand this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger." Everybody say anger. "For human anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. Therefore, ridding yourselves of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, humbly receive the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." Verse 19. Everyone, everybody say everyone, which means tell the person beside you, that's you too, that's you too. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. I could already tell y'all are not liking this sermon already. I can sense it. But I believe God's going to help us to get free. So I want to preach from this theme and thought today as we continue our Be Free series. And I'm calling today's sermon, The Antidote for Anger. Hey, can you look at the person standing next to you and say, "Hey, neighbor, I got a question. Do you have anger issues?" Well, I got good news. God has an antidote for your anger. Father, we pray she would speak to us in this moment. Help us to get free in areas where there's some bondage. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would help us to receive your word, not to reject your word. No matter how much it may convict us, you convict us not for the purpose to push us away. You convict us for the purpose to build us up. So Lord, may we receive this word that you've given to us already in Jesus' name. And every person said amen. Come on and clap your hands as you go to your seat for all that God has done. The antidote for anger. Church family, I want to begin today's sermon by asking us a straightforward question. And as I mentioned in the 9 a.m. service, you all at the 11 are really, really honest, typically more than the 9 a.m. I feel like y'all are more real. No, I'm joking. But I want to ask you this question. Have you ever found yourself, by show of hands, going from 0 to 100 in a split second? And I'm not talking on the interstate. I'm talking with your anger. Come on, can I see the hands in here? Y'all are so honest in here. I love it. The reason why I ask that question, family, is because I think if we're honest, many of us can identify with this. But I'm going to be honest and transparent just about things that can get to me really easily and say this. I believe without a shadow of a doubt, you don't know anger and pain unless you have stepped on one of these. If you have never happened to be walking through your house or your apartment or your daycare, wherever it is, where these little things called Legos occupy, if you've never been walking around a place of residence or employment and put your full weight, barefooted especially, on this, I'm willing to argue. I don't know if you know what anger and pain feels like. Some of you are like, "Pastor, I gave birth to multiple kids. What do you mean?" But for the sake of the sermon, stepping on this, y'all, causes all types of feelings and emotions and thoughts, and sometimes if you're not careful, all types of utterances in the form of words can come out of your mouth as a result of stepping on this. Y'all, I have stepped on my fair share of Legos in our house over the course of 11 years. Our oldest is 11. And many of the Legos that I have stepped on, I feel like he has strategically planted in the house. Y'all, there's no pain like that. But it's interesting that something so small can not only cause so much pain, but can cause so much anger. I think that's fitting because if we're really honest, for some of us in here, if we're really honest, it doesn't take much to cause us to get hot. It doesn't take much. All it takes is one side eye. What? All it takes is one comment. What did you say to me? All it takes is a certain tone and inflection of voice. I ain't like the way you said that. And all of a sudden, it begins to build up something on the inside of us. This thing called anger. Everybody say anger. Anger is an emotion that all of us have experienced in some capacity. Anger, some psychologists would call it like this, that emotion is simply energy in motion. And an emotion like anger is something that can be triggered easily, which can lead us down some paths that don't always lead to our betterment, but if we're not careful, it can lead to our imprisonment. Which brings us here to James chapter 1, because James, who is the half-brother of our Lord Jesus Christ, he's writing to believers who find themselves experiencing all kinds of challenges in their day and time. They're dealing with poverty. They're dealing with persecution for their faith. They're dealing with pain. And all of these ingredients can really contribute to the seedbed and this foundation, or a breeding ground, if you will, of all types of anger. James begins to speak on this word of anger, and he says this very simply: be slow to be angry. Now, this word anger here in the original Greek translation of the New Testament, it literally means wrath. Anger and wrath are oftentimes two different things. Anger oftentimes becomes wrath at some point when anger is not addressed. It turns to wrath oftentimes because sometimes of the sinful proclivity that you and I have. One person said it like this: that wrath is intense anger or fury in response to perceived wrongdoing or injustice. Wrath is an intense anger or fury in response to perceived wrongdoing or injustice. Wrath is the accumulation of unaddressed anger. And James identifies the human proclivity toward what many would refer to as the anger of man, which is also known as an unrighteous anger that cannot achieve the purposes of God. Which is why James says later on in verse 20, he says, human anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. In other words, he's helping us to see that there is some righteous anger, but then there's some unrighteous anger. An anger that is unprocessed and unrighteous is an anger that leads to ungodly results. And in this text, what James is trying to help the believers understand, which also applies to us today, is that you and I need to be careful to become being slow to become angry. Here's what he's ultimately saying: don't be so quick to pop off. That's the Pastor Edwin translation. And the reason why I think this is appropriate is because when we survey our lives and in our world, if we're honest, we find ourselves doing the opposite of being slow to anger. And if we're honest, anger flares up in us, and it also flares up around us because of the things that we're seeing happening around us constantly. So many are living in a constant state of anger. I think about this in context to many of you might be familiar if you read comics and you're familiar with Marvel superheroes, and you might be familiar with Bruce Banner and his alter ego, the Incredible Hulk. And the Avengers movie that came out in 2012, when the Avengers were first stepping onto the scene, there was a portion in a moment in the movie where they were getting ready to go into this massive army, and all of them were gathering and all of them were assembling, and Bruce Banner finally shows up to the scene and shows up to the battle, and Captain America says to Bruce Banner, he says, "Hey, Dr. Banner, now may be a good time to become angry." And Bruce Banner turns around and says to him, "That's my secret, Cap. I'm always angry." And then he explodes and he turns into Hulk. And it got me to thinking from a spiritual standpoint, I wonder how many of us' secret is that we're always angry. How many of us are walking around angry? That all it takes is one little thing to set us off. I wish you would look at me that way. It's like you're just waiting, right? Man, if somebody says something to me on the job, as soon as I get there tomorrow, after I ain't had my coffee, and after these people have been putting me through all types of stress over the course of the week, I wish somebody would say something. It's like you're going ready, charged up. And many people are living in this state of anger. And don't get me wrong, I know that there's many things that you and I can be angry about. When we turn on TV, when we look on social media, when we look at our relationships, we can find ourselves easily angered. Angered by the injustices that might be happening. Angered about politics. Lord help us. Angry with people around us. Angry with family and coworkers. Some of y'all are here today and you angry with the person you sit next to. No amens. All right. Y'all didn't speak to each other at all on the way here, but as soon as you cross that threshold, hey, how you doing this? Oh my gosh. Bless the Lord. And if you continue down that path as soon as you leave out of here, we're going to get to that in a minute. But angry with people, angry with coworkers, angry with, just angry, outrage. One person said it like this, that outrage is a big business because outrage drives ratings. Anger gets clicks and comments. Ariel oftentimes will have this saying from her marketing department when she used to work for a marketing company for a number of years, and she would always tell me this, that we have a saying that if it bleeds, it leads. Meaning this, that when it comes to news, when it comes to stuff that you see on the news, when it comes to this stuff in the newspaper, typically the most largest articles or the things that get the most attention, when you turn on the news, the very first thing oftentimes that they share is something that can stir you up on the inside and not good feelings. Can lead to anger. And some of us are here today online and in person, and you are angry right now because of something that somebody said or didn't say. Because of something that did or didn't happen. I can't believe they did this. I'm mad. Why is this happening to me? They don't listen to me. They don't respect me. Some of us are walking around with anger. That's how we are on the inside. Getting a little uncomfortable now, huh?
And that's how many of us live. We're living so tight on the inside.
And you're living tight because it's indicative of you living bound. Bound to it. You're wound up and bound up. And all it takes, and the enemy knows it, all it takes is one little probe and an explosion happens. But Pastor, you don't know what happened, and I'm upset about something that's legit. I'm not saying that what you might be upset about is not right. I'd be upset too if they slashed my tires. Yeah, I'd be upset. I'd be upset if they ate the ice cream that I set aside in the freezer and then I went to the freezer and it wasn't there. I'd be upset too. I'd be upset too if I had some leftovers sitting in the refrigerator and I had my eyes set on it and my mouth salivating for it when I got back home from work or school and then I go in there and it's gone. And I see the remnants in the trash can. I would turn into Hulk too. I get it. Some of y'all, that's the thing you're struggling with right now because you got some people in your family, they eat all your leftovers. They don't respect none of your stuff. You got roommates and they don't respect your side of the room for nothing. I get it. I'm not saying that what you're angry about is invalid. But I want to caution us when it comes to being quick to become angry. Because while there's many things that you and I can get angry about, which might be true, what is also true is that God has plenty of reasons to be angry with us. Come on here. You and I have given God endless reasons to be angry with us. Matter of fact, the Bible says this, that we were children of wrath because of our sin and because of us being disobedient to God. Here's what Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 5 says. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you previously walked according to the ways of this world, according to the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit now working in the disobedient. Verse 3, we too all previously lived, that's we, all of us, family, we too all previously lived among them in our fleshly desires, carrying out the inclinations of our flesh and thoughts, and we were by nature, watch what he says next, children under wrath, as the others were also. Can I help you understand something? That when you and I went against God, our sin has stirred the pot of God's wrath. We deserved what we had coming to us. You want to talk about how you've offended people or how they've offended you. What we don't like to talk about is how much we've offended God. Come on, it's real quiet now. What we don't like to talk about is how we've sinned against God and how we've given God every single reason to lash out and to pop off on us. But that's not what he did. And here's what Paul says in verse 4. In the midst of us being children under wrath, here's what verse 4 says. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love that he had for us, made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead in trespasses. You are saved by grace. Here's what Paul is saying. You and I deserve the perfect judgment and wrath of God, but instead of us getting judgment from God, what God did was he applied that judgment to his son Jesus Christ on our behalf. Let me say it like this in case you're not getting it. If anybody had a reason to pop off, it was God. But thank God that he didn't direct his judgment towards us, but he directed it towards his son. Let me say it like this. God should have snapped on us. Can I let you know? He should have ended our lives. The mere fact that you got breath in your body, and I'm here right now, and didn't get the Ananias and Sapphira treatment when we sinned against God and was struck down on us. The mere fact that you are here today, the mere fact that you're using your fingers to watch this online experience is proof of God's grace and mercy. Okay, you're not getting it. I want to let you, God don't owe you the breath that you're breathing right now. God doesn't owe you the job that you work right now. God does not owe you anything that you have right now. Everything that you and I have right now is because of his goodness and because of his grace and because of his mercy. Pastor, how can you say that? Because the Bible talks about how the wages of sin is death, and all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And when I think about my own life, y'all, when I think about God in retrospect to what I deserve, God has been patient with me for a long time. Matter of fact, here's what the Bible says in Psalm 103, verse 8. The Lord is compassionate and gracious. Watch this. Slow to anger and abounding in faithful love. All of our sin, all of our iniquity was just stirring up the wrath and judgment of God towards us. But instead of us having to pay that debt, Jesus paid for it through his death on a cross and through his resurrection from the grave. Here's what I'm saying. God could have taken his anger out on us, but instead he took it out on his son. For every lie you told, God should have popped off. We're getting real self-righteous right now. I can feel it. Okay. For every time you got drunk and got high, God should have popped off. For every time you went to that porn site, God should have popped off. For every time you stole, God should have popped off. For every time you gossiped about somebody and slandered somebody, God should have popped off. For every time you cussed somebody out, God should have popped off. For every time you slept with somebody that was not your spouse in marriage, God should have popped off. But the reason why God did not pop off, even though we deserved it, is because of his goodness and because of his mercy and because of his grace. Because of God being slow to anger, he spared us. And I just want to know, is there anybody here today that's grateful for the fact, God, thank you that you didn't pop off on me. Thank you that you didn't get upset with me. Thank you that you didn't kill me. Thank you that you didn't righteously judge me in my sin. Thank God that he was gracious to us. God has been, can I say it like, God's been putting up with your foolishness and mine for a long time. Come on here. God's been dealing with you and I for, it took many of you years to come to the reality of the fact that God's been good. God's been putting up with you every single day from the minute you came out of the womb. He could have been said, hey, go on and, yeah. But God, who is rich in mercy, saved us. When you should have been judged because of your sin, God was patient with you. Come on.
when you and I were doing things that we had no business doing, God was patient with you. God was good to you. When you and I should have received what we deserve, God was patient with you. God could have been and said, you know what, I'm done with you. Long time ago. We get upset with people because they can't get themselves together in a few months. God's been like, I've been dealing with you your whole life. And if you're older in here, you definitely should be saying amen, because there's a much longer runway that you got. Come on here. The older you get, the more you should begin to see the extension of God's grace and mercy over your life. This is why David says that I once was young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken. That goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of my life. God's been patient with you. Tell the person beside you, God's been patient with you. He's been patient with me too. And so now in response to God being slow to anger towards us, here's what we see in this text that James is calling us to do. As God has been slow to anger, you be slow to anger. Why is this important? Because what oftentimes happens is that what I've recognized, even though when we say yes to Jesus Christ, God's no longer angry with us because he's attributed that to his son Jesus Christ on the cross. Here's what I've recognized. Even though we might be free from the anger of God, we can still be a possessor of anger in our own hearts. Let me say it like this. We can be free from the anger of God while still being a prisoner to our own. So God has freed you from the penalty of what your sins deserve and what mine deserved. But you and I can still be harboring anger in our hearts towards other people. You and I can still be walking around like the Incredible Hulk, angry at all times. What I've recognized, family, is that you and I, even though we can be free in Christ, we can still be walking in some paths of bondage. Can I ask you this question that I want you to ask yourself right now? Am I angry about something or someone right now? As I said earlier, some of us are sitting next to them. There might be somebody that comes to your mind. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a foe. Somebody who used to be your friend, but they wounded you. Are you angry right now? Let me give us some signs and symptoms of anger. We oftentimes resort to shouting. Pastor, I just talk loud. No, you're shouting. Shout all the time. You shout to get your point across. Parents, you have anger issues, you yell at your kids. Pop off. Maybe it's outbursts of anger. That's what another thing that the scripture would say. That I have these random outbursts. And somebody cuts me off on the interstate and I just snap. Somebody does me wrong, I just snap. Just go from 0 to 100. Now here's one that I believe many of us, I'll be transparent, this is one I sometimes struggle with, that many of us deal with, whether we admit it or not. It's not the shouting. It's not the outbursts. It's the silence. Some of y'all are gangsters when it comes to the silent treatment. Yeah, you will literally be so angry with people, you will act as if the person that you're angry with don't exist. You could see them, y'all could be in the same room and you ignore them. Don't even care what they look like. Don't even care about what's going on. Like, just ignore them. Silent treatment. Cold as ice. We're hitting the nail right now, I could tell. Silence. Somebody be like, what's wrong with you? None. But you're stewing on the inside. I'm fine. Yeah, how you doing? I'm fine. They say fine is feelings inward, not expressed. So you ain't fine on the inside. You a raging fire. And if they say one more thing, but many of us, we move in silence with our anger. Give them the cold shoulder. Don't say anything at all. Some of us express anger through shouting. Some of us express it through silence. Here's what Ephesians 4:26 says. In your anger, do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Here's what he's saying.
Yes, you might find yourself angry, but the one thing you don't need to do with that anger is sin as a result of that anger. And he says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. We'll get into that in a moment. What he's talking about is time. You can't allow time and believe that time is just going to address and heal the anger. We've heard the saying that time heals wounds. That's a lie from the pit of hell. That's not true. Sometimes time can make wounds worse. It's what I do with that time that determines whether or not time will work for me. And what Paul is helping us to see is in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Now, he's not necessarily talking about somebody say, oh, it's a literal physical day. The principle is this. We cannot let that go unaddressed. We got to deal with that. Because if we don't properly deal with anger, it will deal with us. Can I give you some pitfalls of anger? Because oftentimes, when we're filled with anger, many have argued that it's similar to being under the influence of something that's intoxicating. And I believe many of us would agree with that, because when we're angry, sometimes we say things that we know we normally wouldn't say when we're sober-minded. We sometimes will do things that we normally would not do, which is why after it's all settled down and said and done, you'll come back and recognize, I was in the wrong. And here's what we'll say, I was angry. I wasn't thinking straight. I just popped off. Because one of the pitfalls of anger, and when it's not dealt with properly, is it's costly, y'all. And a perfect example of this in the scripture is a guy by the name of Moses. Moses was one of God's main gods. God used Moses to set his people free from the Egyptian captivity that Pharaoh had God's people in the Old Testament. But before God even used Moses in an incredible way, Moses, we see, had some anger issues, because the Bible says early in the book of Exodus, Moses happened to see somebody being mistreated, and what he did to correct the issue was he killed the person who was committing the crime of mistreatment towards somebody else. Moses was a gangster. Yo, I'm gonna tell you, Moses killed the person and hid the body. If that ain't some power stuff, how to get away with murder stuff? Yo, what he was angry about was right. He saw somebody getting mistreated. But fam, did you have to kill him though? Moses went from 0 to 100. So what he was angry about was good, but how he dealt with that anger was wrong, which now led to him having to conceal certain things. And when he thought he had got away with it, somehow somebody found out that he had killed an Egyptian who was committing a crime against a fellow Jew, and that person said, hey, ain't you the one that killed somebody? And now Moses is running for his life. And he goes into hiding for a number of years. Fast forward, now God calls him out in the wilderness. He says, hey, I want you to go down to Egypt, the same place that you ran from, because your anger got the best of you. Interesting. I want you to go back to Egypt, and I want you to go set my people free. So the Bible says that he goes to Egypt. God uses him to deliver millions of people from Egyptian captivity, and God takes them now to the wilderness. But before that all happens, God says, I want to have a one-on-one conversation with you, because I want to give you something that's going to guide and be a governing type of statute for my people called the law. We know it as the Ten Commandments. And so God has Moses spend some time with him for the course of about 40 days and 40 nights at the top of this mountain. Meanwhile, while God and Moses are having this great connection moment, the people that Moses led out of Egyptian captivity are going buck wild, and he left Aaron in charge. Be careful of who you leave in charge. And so now the people are putting pressure on Aaron, like, hey man, where's that fellow Moses? He was here with us, but he gone now. Give us a god to worship, Aaron. So Aaron comes up with this crazy idea, all right, we're gonna make a golden calf out of the gold. Where'd they get the gold from? This was the gold that they got from Egypt, the gold that God actually allowed them to have when they were leaving Egypt. Now, this blessing that God has allowed them to have, they're turned into a bondage. Be careful how you handle the blessings of God, because sometimes the things that we're oftentimes praying for, when we're not submitting them to God, that blessing can now become a burden in my relationship with God. So God opens up a door, I'm working a job. I don't even know why I'm saying this, because it's not part of my notes. He opens up a door and he blesses me with a job, and now this job, I start to worship. How do I worship it, Pastor? Because whenever this job calls me, even if it's at the expense of my relationship with God and my spiritual health, I respond to it. Blessings can become burdens when they're not submitted to God properly. Let me get back on track. So now Moses is up in this mountain with God. Aaron has crafted this image of gold. Where did they get the image? Where would he get this golden calf image? Egypt. Because here's what this also shows us. Even though God may take us out of Egypt, there's still some Egypt in us that he got to deal with.
And so Aaron builds this calf, this golden calf. People are wilding out, y'all. Literally, that's what the text says. They were engaged in carousing. They were twerking. Reckless. Y'all laughing. I'm dead serious. Y'all, they was going crazy down there. Like, literally, the Hebrew word in that it's where we get the English word orgies. They were doing all types of stuff. And God is like, hey, Moses, them people that I called you to lead, hey, them people wilding out down there. Go see what's going on. Moses comes down after God has written the Ten Commandments on these tablets, and Moses is stunned, and he sees all the people in reckless living. You know what he does? In a fit of anger, he throws down the law, the tablets, and they break. Moses snaps. It's interesting, because as the tablets snap, literally, it was a representation in many ways of him snapping emotionally. This was not Moses. I said in the first service, this ain't Moses, this is Mo. Moses is the godly one. This is Mo right here. When he pop off, Moses is out the window. His alter ego, that's Mo right there. Do not cross paths with Mo, because Mo will kill you. Literally. Come on, y'all know some Mo's in your life. Do not set them off. Whatever you do, keep your comments to yourself. The Bible says, y'all, that he throws the tablets down. They break in half. He goes crazy. He has this moment of anger. Once again, what he's angry about is proper. How he's dealing with it is improper. He breaks the tablets, y'all. And here's how gangster Moses is, y'all. He said, we're going to destroy this golden calf that y'all made. We're going to grind it up. We're going to put it in the water, and I'm going to make all y'all drink it. I don't know about y'all. The Bible is crazy. Moses is gangster. Oh, y'all like the golden calf? Drink it then. Who thinks of this? Moses, what you on right now? But anger sometimes intoxicates you. Right? Now fast forward. They're in the wilderness. The people are crying out, God, we're thirsty. You brought us out into the wilderness. Oh, my gosh, why would you do this? And, well, it's manna from heaven and all. Even though it's miraculous, we've never seen it before. We're sick and tired of eating manna. Can we go back to bondage in Egypt where we had nice food? Ain't that crazy? We get so accustomed to bondage that bondage becomes comfortable for us, even though it's not good for us. They want to go back to Egypt. God's like, no. They thirsty. Hey, Moses, do this. Strike the rock, water will come out. Moses strikes the rock, water comes out. Boom, people are good. Now fast forward another time. They're going crazy on Moses. Oh my gosh, Moses, we're so sick and tired of eating all this manna. You brought us out to the wilderness again. We're going to die of thirst. Moses now reaches this boiling point. God tells Moses in this moment, all right, they're thirsty again. All right, here we go. Speak to the rock, Moses. Let the water flow out. Moses, fed up, says essentially, I ain't speaking to nothing. I'm going to strike this rock. He strikes the rock. Water comes flowing out. The people are thirsty. Or people's thirst now is quenched. But now him and God got a problem. All right, Moses. I let you slide with throwing my law down. You broke my tablets. I called you back up to the top of the mountain. I made another edition, second edition. But now, you're getting in the way of my glory. I told you to speak to the rock, not strike it. And you know what it cost Moses? It cost Moses the opportunity to get into the promised land. So God says, you ain't going to enter into this land. I called you to lead them into this land. You forfeited that opportunity. I'll let you see it, but you won't seize it. What happened? His anger. Moses had this anger issue for a number of years that was not dealt with. And every time it cost him something more. Can I help you understand something? Anger is costly, y'all. It will cost you relationships. It'll cost you a job. It'll cost you peace. It'll cost you joy. Here's what Proverbs 15:18 says. A hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but one slow to anger calms strife. A hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but one slow to anger. Everybody say slow to anger. One slow to anger calms strife. What does slow to anger mean? It refers to the ability to exercise your strength so that you don't respond to hurt in a way that hurts you. It means that I'm going to have some self-control here. Spiritual strength is often shown in restraint, meaning this, I could, but I won't.
I could give you a tongue lashing right now, but I won't. I could get you back, but I won't. And what James is trying to help us to see here is that when it comes to anger, that we don't need to be under its control any longer. Yes, you might have a relationship with Christ. If you say yes to Jesus, you receive him as Lord and Savior, but anger might have a hold on you. So how do we get free from this control of anger? Number one, I want you to write this down. God wants us to, one, embrace a righteous pace. Everybody say righteous pace. Notice verse 19, go back to James 1. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Quick, slow, and slow. What does that speak to? That speaks to tempo. That speaks to pace. So what he's saying here is that you and I need to be mindful of our pace, and we don't need to adopt a reckless and worldly pace. No, when it comes to anger, we need to adopt a righteous pace. That instead of being quick to listen and slow to speak, sometimes we are slow to listen and quick to speak and quick to become angry. And part of the reason why I believe many of us remain imprisoned to anger is because of our pace with things. We rush. So as soon as they send you that text message, what? You hit send. Can I let you know? And one of the greatest things you could do when somebody does something like that, write out your thoughts and put it in draft folder. The draft folder will save your life and maybe save your job. Maybe save your relationship. It's the pace. He says, be quick to listen, slow to speak. But oftentimes we rush to judgment. We rush to conclusions. We rush to say something that we shouldn't say. Why? Because we feel something in the moment. So we're governed by our feelings. And if we're not careful, we can follow our feelings rather than follow the Spirit of God. So Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 9 says this, don't let your spirit rush to be angry, for anger abides in the hearts of fools. So to help me to live out this righteous pace, I want you to write these thoughts down. Sometimes it means, number one, I need to pause. When I feel it rising up, hey, take a step back, pause. Don't say nothing, don't do nothing. Then after that, I maybe need to process. I need to think. Because remember, when we find ourselves being angry, our thoughts become cloudy because emotions are high. And one person said like this, when emotion runs high, logic goes low. And so if our emotions are high right now, I need to process and I need to pause. But then most of all, I need to pray. Before I go talk to anybody else, I need to talk to God. And talking to God might be in the form of, maybe I need to write something down in my journal. Maybe I need to create a digital note on my phone and write out my thoughts. That the best place to process things is the presence of God, not social media. I don't need to go necessarily vent to everybody because not everybody can handle that. I need to process, I need to pause, and I need to pray. But oftentimes, instead of doing those things, we're instead of reflecting, we're reacting. Instead of praying, we snap. Instead of pausing, we go from 0 to 100. And a lot of times, as I said earlier, wrath or anger here is a response to a perceived injustice, but it doesn't necessarily mean that there has been an injustice. But the only way you find that out is by being slow to anger. Have you ever got mad about something and then recognized that you were the one that was wrong? Nobody gonna be honest? Have you ever snapped and was like, yeah, I shouldn't have did that? This is why the Bible says that there's a time and place for everything in Ecclesiastes 3:1. But pastor, I just felt so angry. Can I let you know this? Just because your feelings are real does not mean they're always right. Just because I feel that does not mean it's right. Your feelings will get you messed up. We don't follow feelings. We might be aware of them, but we follow the Spirit. Thank you for that golf clap. Don't nobody else be honest right here. Proverbs 14:29 says this, a patient person shows great understanding, but a quick-tempered person promotes foolishness. Meaning this, that there are some dumb things that you and I do out of anger. Foolishness. One person, Richard Baxter said this, It is easier to watch over the impulses of anger than over the consequences of it. It's easier to watch over the impulses of anger rather than the consequences of it. In other words, here's what he's saying. It's much easier to deal with the emotions of anger than having to deal with the consequences of lashing out. Because once you lash out, you can't change that. Whatever that consequence comes is what's coming. And I don't know about you. I don't want to be a slave to anger. I don't want to rush to judgment. I want to be in step with the Spirit, as Paul says in Galatians chapter 5. Because when we're in step with the Spirit, meaning when we're following his pace, here's what the Bible says. When we keep in step with the Spirit, Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit that comes as a result of that is love, joy, peace, and patience. Because I'm keeping in step. I want you to write this down. That when it comes to dealing with anger, we need to have a righteous pace, not a reckless and worldly pace. When it comes to anger and dealing with anger, we need to have a righteous pace, not a reckless one. I got to keep in step with God. I got to do what God does. As God was slow to anger, I need to be slow to anger. Here's the next thing. I need to also embrace a righteous purge. Everybody say purge. Notice verse 21. Therefore, ridding yourselves of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. Here's what James is advocating for. He wants the believers, he wants us to eliminate things out of our heart that are filthy and evil. In short, here's what James is saying. You need to get that toxicity, that anger, that resentment up out of your heart because it's killing you. It's poisonous to your soul. And not the poison from the music group years ago. Poison, poison, poison. No, not that. This right here will mess up your life. This right here will mess up your relationships. And when we find ourselves angry, here's what we need to ask God to do. God, would you help me to purge things out of my heart that are not like you? Help me to purge the evil thoughts that I have towards that person for what they did to me. Help me to purge the rash judgment and the stereotypes that I have allowed myself to adopt because of what I think about this person or because of what they did to me. Here's what Ephesians 4:31 says. Get rid of all bitterness. Get rid of it. Last time I checked, get rid of it means get rid of it. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Notice here the sequential order in which Paul says bitterness, rage, and anger. A lot of those are internal things, which then now leads to brawling. That's fighting. And we fight with words. Some of you are like, Pastor, I don't even need to talk. Yeah, yo, squat up. If I got a problem, we fighting. And then slander. It moves from inside to outside. Paul says, get rid of it. Kill it. Let it go. Here's what Colossians 3:8 says. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things. He says it again to a whole other church. Obviously, the church people have some problems with anger. I know you saved and sanctified and Holy Ghost filled and fire baptized. I know you know the scriptures, but let's be honest, you pop off real easy. He says, get rid of these things. Anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. You know what he's saying? Stop cussing. Profanity. But Pastor, some words only capture the emotion that I feel. Come on, y'all know what we say. But just because it captures the emotion of what you feel does not mean it's righteous. Doesn't mean that it's godly. Let me tell you something. If you go to Wawa right now and cuss somebody out, a fight is happening. I don't care how you split it. Paul says, get rid of it. And he's saying this under the auspice of, now that you are in Christ, you got a new life. And because you got a new life, you can't do old things no more. You don't do this to get God to love you. He already loves you. But because he loves you, now live out his love the right way. So Paul says, listen, if you are in God and you have his love, you need to act lovingly towards other people. Which is why Jesus says that any person who has anger in his heart, he says, you've heard it said, don't murder another person. But I say that if you got anger in your heart, it's just like you murdering somebody. He says, you got to get that up out of you, man. Because that thing right there, it's a problem right now. It's going to be a major problem later. It's going to lead to outbursts. It's going to lead to you snapping on people that you love. It's going to lead to you doing some things that you would regret on the back end of that. And the longer that wrath resides in my heart, the more I remain a prisoner to it. But Pastor, I just need to get this out. I just got to snap on them for what they did. I got to let them have a piece of my mind. Here's what we say. I got to get it off my chest. Wait till I see them at work tomorrow. Wait till I get home and see these kids. I can't believe it. You make the, I can't believe it. I got to get this off my chest. Anger says, I need to get this off my chest. Humility says, I need to get this out of my heart. Because you can get something off your chest and it still be in your heart. And many of us have said things and done things, but it did not fix what's still living in the hearts. And what God is saying is, you need to get this up out of you. Because it's killing you. And it's going to kill other people around you. This is why James says, get rid of the moral filth. And it's a strong word that he uses back in verse 21. And the evil that is so prevalent. You know what prevalent means? Common. He says, get this up out of you. Matter of fact, Paul would say it like this later on in Ephesians chapter 6, especially for parents. He gives a word to parents. He says, parents, do not provoke your kids to anger. Can I give you the Pastor Edwin translation? Parents, stop snapping on your kids. Because they ain't get straight A's, because they got 5 A's and 1 B. You are a C student at best, and you snapping at them. Come on. These are the things that God reminds me of. Husbands and wives, stop snapping on each other. But here's what I've recognized, family, that some of this ain't our fault. Some of this is a result of the environments that we grew up in. Because how people talk to us was in a way of anger. But Pastor, we just talk loud. No. That's anger. Y'all big mad. And I gotta deal with this. I gotta get rid of this. I know this is cutting our hearts like a sword and like a butter knife through a warm stick of butter. I know it. But Paul and even James here said, you got to get this up out of you. It's killing you. It's had you in bondage for so long. I got to check my heart. God, would you purge things out of me that's not like you? Why do I snap so easily? Why do I buck on people so easily? Somebody cut me off on the interstate. Why all of a sudden am I snapping? They cut me off. And now I want to get from behind them and look at them like this. That's why they call it road rage. You know what David says in the scripture? Lord, create in me a clean heart. Renew in me a right spirit. Y'all, that's the thing that I be praying. That's the thing that God is asking us. Hey, let me cleanse out some areas that you don't know nothing about. Because there's some things that have attached themselves to you and I that we're not even aware of. So I need God to get beneath the surface in my soul to purge things up out of me. I need to get the evil, not that's just on me, but that's in me, out of me, because it's making me sick. That's a righteous purge. He says, get rid of it. But then he says this. Embrace, this is the third point, embrace a righteous posture. Notice verse 21. He says, after you get rid of all this, humbly receive the implanted word which is able to save your souls. He says this here, James 1, verse 21. Humbly receive the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. What is James saying? Instead of being proud, be humble. He says that if you want to deal with this anger, you got to humble yourself. That you can't think of yourself more highly than you ought to. Oftentimes people say, I don't have anger issues. You should have anger issues. He says, I got to humble myself. I got to lower myself. Because here's what happens. When we humble ourselves, like he says here in verse 21, What it does is it positions us to experience the grace that God wants to give us, which is why he says later on in James chapter 4 that God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And part of the reason why we haven't been able to get over anger is because we haven't submitted it to God. We haven't humbled ourselves. So somebody try to tell you, hey, I think you got anger issues. No, I don't. And as I said, anger takes many different forms and fashions. It might be outbursts. It might be silence. Some of us have been stewing anger on the inside. But God is saying, hey, would you humble yourself? And oftentimes, I get it when we feel wronged or slighted. Here's what happens. We can rush to anger and ultimately turns to wrath. And now here's what happens. We want to get vengeance. So we live with this vindictive type of spirit. But that's a dangerous place to be because God says, vengeance is mine. And so when we try to become vindictive or vengeance-oriented with handling things that make us angry, what we're trying to do is take the place of God. And that's something demonic and something that the devil has always been trying to do since day one. God's like, wait a minute, hold on, I know you're mad. Don't try to do me though. I got this on lock. Here's what I want you to do, humble yourself. Don't try to take my place. No, get under me. Submit it to me. Which is why the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7, it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you at the proper time. Verse 7, casting all your cares on him, because he cares about. Can I let you know, God cares about the thing that you're angry about. He cares about it. He's not oblivious to it. He cares about it. And here's what he says, when you're angry, get under me. So instead of getting hot, get humble. Instead of getting upset, get under God. And I want you to write this down, that anger shouldn't be an activator to seek out vengeance. It should be an indicator to seek God's presence. That when I feel angry, don't let that activate you to want to get him back, to respond with a tongue lashing. To snap on it. No. It's an indicator. I need to go to God first. God, I'm upset right now. I'm hot. I'm mad. I'm mad about what's going on in my life right now. I'm mad about what they said to me. I'm mad about what they did to me. I'm mad about what's happening. I'm mad. It's okay to be honest about the things that you're angry about as long as you know what to do with them. Bring them to God first. Deal with them. And what happens a lot of times is when we don't go that route, it leads to brokenness in our own lives. But James says, humbly receive the implanted word, which is, watch this, able to save your souls. Y'all, when we submit to God's word when we're angry, it saves us a lot of pain. I talked to people through the years who said, I lost my job simply because I lost my cool. The very thing that I prayed for, that God blessed me with, I lost because I snapped. Y'all, when we humbly submit ourselves to God, it saves us. It saves us from misery. It saves us from unnecessary pain. It'll save some relationships, y'all. I believe that God is helping some of us in here today because, yes, you came in here a little angry. You came in here a little upset. You're online, and yet you carrying it. And maybe how you were going to deal with it prior to you coming in here was not going to be in the most righteous way. He was like, oh, I'm going to lay hands all right. I'm going to pray all right. After I lay these hands on you, you're going to get this Mike Tyson treatment. Whether it's physical or verbal for what you did to me. But what the scripture says is, no. Humble yourself. And I believe that what God is trying to help us to see is that I don't want you to be controlled by anger. I want you to be aware of it, but don't be governed by it. Don't allow it to cost you some stuff. Don't allow it to cost you the promised land that he has for you to experience. Don't allow it to cost you what God wants you to step into.
And maybe for some of us, the reason why we haven't been able to tap into what God has for us is because he says, if I let you get to that place, your anger is going to take you out. We got to deal with this before I take you there. Why does he do that? Because he loves you so much. And he cares about you. I want to close with this thought. When I think about anger, oftentimes, we get this visual illustration of anger. Anthony, can you bring me that? A lot of times, this is how we live life when we're angry, stirred up. Some of y'all getting real nervous already, like, well, he better not. Right? Somebody said this to me, oh, this didn't go the way, oh, they cut me off on the interstate, oh my gosh. And we're just being stirred up and stirred up, oh my gosh, all this political stuff, these people are crazy, oh. They're talking about you're going to vote for this person. Oh. We're just getting stirred up, right? Right? And we at the point where we like, yo. I see some of y'all like, Pastor, don't you do it. Because you know what'll happen if this keeps getting stirred up and you open this up. It explodes. It gets everywhere. Do you know what God is trying to help us? Hey, listen, you're getting stirred up a whole lot? Pause. Let my grace settle you. Calm down. Pause. Breathe. Pray. Seek me. Humble yourself. But God, I can't believe they said this to me. I get it. Pause. Calm down. Because what's in you is too valuable. And if you pop off, it's gonna cost you. But I can't believe what they did to me. They betrayed me. They talked about me. This person got the promotion that I deserved. I get it. Don't pop off. Because if you pop off, it's gonna cost you. And it leaves a mess. And some messes, unfortunately, are permanent in this life. Oh, don't get me wrong. The blood of Jesus cleanses our sin. But the blood of Jesus does not absolve us from all earthly consequences as a result of our sin. That has to do with you and I. So understand this. If you explode on the people that's closest to you, it's going to mess up your whole house. If you explode on your job, it's going to mess up that opportunity. If you explode on those friends, you lose those relationships possibly. It causes some injury, some wounds. God says, I know you're upset. I know you've been stirred up. But let my grace settle you. Rest in my grace. Why does he say that? Because that's what his son did on our behalf. The wrath of God was stirred up against us because of our sin. But what Jesus did, I'm going to go to the cross to settle the debt of your sin so you wouldn't have to feel the wrath of God. I felt it for you. I absorbed it for you. Because of my grace, you don't have to get what your sins deserve any longer. Because of my forgiveness, you don't have to get what was coming your way. What was coming your way was wrath. What was coming your way was judgment. And it was righteous because you deserved everything that was coming your way. But because of God's great love for us, he sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins and to raise back to life to settle.
To settle. So now when James says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, it comes into alignment with what Jesus says in Matthew 5 and 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Not peacekeepers. Peacekeepers ignore issues and don't deal with them. Peacemakers say, no, we're not going to ignore what happened, but we're going to make things right. That's what Jesus did. And he says, now that we belong to his family, that's what we're called to do. So while the world is getting all stirred up, we are the people that calm it down. So that finally when we do open Come on. When we finally do deal with it, it's calm. I don't know about y'all, I love orange soda. It'd be a shame to waste all this because of anger. It'd be a shame to waste your gifts because of anger. It'd be a shame to waste what God wants to do in your life because of anger. He says, no. Let it settle. If I had a cup right now, I'd crush this jar right in front of y'all. I'm not going to lie. I'll say this for later, but this illustration is coming home with me. I'm just letting y'all know. But he says, I want you to be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. I've come to set you free. And I don't want you to live a slave to wrath and anger any longer. I want everybody to stand to our feet as we close. Maybe some of you are here today under the sound of my voice, and you're here. Maybe you're like me, like this sermon, it convicts. I don't care how much you love God, you get angry. We all get angry. I get angry. The pastor gets angry. But it's what we do with it that determines whether we'll be controlled by it or be freed from it. And some of us have some generational cycles of bondage when it comes to anger that's been passed down to us. So because people yelled at you growing up, you now yell at others. Because people gave you the silent treatment when they were angry with you, now you give the silent treatment to others. I get it, some of this is generational. But I believe in faith that Jesus wants to break generational patterns in our lives today. The things that we've been in bondage to, he wants us to be free from. So if you're here today with heads bowed and eyes closed and you're like, Pastor, I struggle with this. I deal with this. I struggle when it comes to my anger. I want you to know this. If this thing convicted you, God is speaking to you. It's okay. When he convicts us, it's not to shame us. It's actually to free us. Condemnation brings forth shame. Conviction brings forth freedom. So if you're here with heads bowed and eyes closed, you're like, I want to be free from its control. I want to be free from its power over me. Could you do me a favor? Lift up your hand wherever you are. You struggle with anger and processing it. I want you to know there ain't no shame in this. There's no shame to those in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation to those in Christ. Because by you honoring God in this moment, by expressing this and sharing this and being open about it, is you saying, God, I'm handing it to you. I struggle with this. I need your help. I need your grace. Amen. Amen. Father, for every hand lifted in this place, online and in person, God, I pray that you would give them the strength to be able to deal with anger when it comes knocking at the door, to not ignore it, but to not be controlled by it either. I pray for every young person who struggles with anger, pent up on the inside, not knowing how to express it. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would bring forth healing to their hearts and to their minds. For every couple right now, Father, that is angry with one another, Lord, would you bring forth a healing, restoration, peace? Father, I pray that you would help us all to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. In Jesus' name, my head's bowed and eyes are closed. Here's my second appeal. If you're here today, I want you to know this. You will never be able to truly be free from this grip and control until you first come to Jesus. Meaning this, you have relationship with him. I'm not saying you got to come to church. I'm saying you got to come to Christ. Because you can come to church and not come to Christ. If you're here today and you're like, I need to be in relationship with him. Because it is only through Christ that I can experience freedom. It is only through Christ where my sins can be forgiven. It is only through Christ where I can experience a new beginning. If you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, I want to come to Jesus today. I want to be in relationship with him. I want my sins to be forgiven. And I want to live this life of freedom. My head's bowed and eyes are closed. On the count of three, could you shoot up your hand? 1, 2, 3, wherever you are. No matter what your age is, no matter who you are, if you're here today and you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, just shoot up your hand wherever you are. No shame, no shame, no shame. Amen. Shoot up your hand. Amen. I see your hands. Amen. 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 For every hand lifted in this place and even online, if you're here today and you want to come to Christ, you want this new beginning, you want this new relationship with him. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that he is Lord, will be saved. I want you to say this prayer of faith after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you rose back to life to give me new life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. I receive your forgiveness. I receive your salvation. In Jesus' name. And every person said amen. Come on, church, can we celebrate those today who said yes to Christ? Come on, I saw some hands go up today. Amen.